It's time for History on the Radio here on Quicksland this morning. J.W. Ballinger, local storyteller from the Randolph County Historical Society, joins me. Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome. Homecoming week at Moberly High School.
Absolutely. Lots of things going on.
Is that what's got you thinking about your topic today?
Well, part of it. But I tell you what, all through the summer, there are a lot of class reunions. And you know I came in last week and I had no idea what I was going to talk about. So I attended a class reunion here in town and just picked up some really interesting aspects of school days. Thought, well, we'll just talk about school days a little bit and class reunions. So let's begin this way. What event would you expect might draw more people to town than some others? Well, think about it. All year round, there are class reunions, and they will bring in anywhere from 30 to 100 people. And those people really help the tourism aspect in Moberly and Randolph County. Now, why is that? Well, they do exactly what you need to do to raise tourism dollars. People come to town. They usually spend more than one day here. That means that one night is spent at a local motel, or perhaps they stay with a friend or a relative. And that's what is called putting heads in the bed, and that's what tourism really likes. A second item is that reunions draw people to town, and they go to a restaurant, and they eat. They might even run out to a store to get some general retail sales. They'll buy gasoline, clothing, and lots of different things. So, all in all, class reunions are an economic developer for the community. So, I'd like to encourage people, if your class is having a one-year, a five-year reunion, or maybe even just a special event to get together, say, like recently, classes have been saying, come when we're all turning 70, the year we're all turning 70. And they come and they really have a good time. So make a point to attend and participate and renew those old friendships. That's what class reunions are all about. And to remember the really special moments that you had in your life in and out of high school when you were here in Moberly. During any given year, they'll gather on weekends, maybe even meet for a monthly meal. I know that several classes meet on a regular basis on a weekday and just have a meal together. And usually, if I happen to walk through the area where they are, you hear a lot of laughter and a lot of good things going on. So it's a good time. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those good times. Plus, at the end, we're going to talk about some past chamber banquets. Last night was the 2019 chamber banquet for the Moberly Area Chamber of Commerce. So we'll talk about that, too.
All right. We got a lot to get in with J.W. Ballinger. It's History on the Radio. Class reunions coming up next.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six. And he works as a guide in Alaska, but then he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
836, Quicksland this morning. History on the Radio with J.W. Ballinger.
We'll get started here. Now, what happens when classmates get together and join together in events and eat together? Well, there's lots of talking and discussing, reminiscing, of course, just remembering all the things that went on in the elementary school through high school here. And quite often, one of the things that happen is there are contests that get people to talking as the groups get together. And one of the questions that very usually comes up is, do you remember who your elementary teachers were? Now, I was a part of the last group to graduate with 7 years in Moberly's elementary school, and that was at Moberly's East Park. So here you go. My teachers were Mrs. Henry, for kindergarten, Ms. Truesdell, Miss Boulware, Miss Kehoe, Miss Barnhouse, Miss Ellsbury, Mrs. Ripple, and of course, Miss Armstrong. Another thing that they do at class reunions, and this happens more and more times than I can call on, is they talk about something called the diction drill. Now, this was an effort established by Mary Sheehan, who was a teacher at Moberly Junior High. She taught English, and she had a list of 100 words that were often misspelled or mispronounced. And so in the first semester of your work with Miss Sheehan, you had to stand up in front of the class and recite 50 of those words and spell them in front of the class, and also to write them at a later time. Then the second semester, you had the second 50, and you had to get up in front of the class and recite all 100 words. Now, I've got that list here. It changed from time to time, but it basically started out the same, and I'll give you the first five. Get, getting, stomach, wash, iron. And there were 100 of those. It seems that each classmate, when they get together, they recall certain stories. Everybody has things they remember, as opposed to maybe the student that sat next to them. And they remember the details, but when they're told, everybody seems to enjoy the retelling of the stories. So here are just a few of the stories that I gleaned from this past week's reunion. Now, you remember we've talked about neighborhood grocery stores on this program. And at one time, there were over 60 neighborhood grocery stores in Moberly. Well, one year, a man came through town selling pups, wolf pups, not just dog pups, but wolf pups. And he was selling them to be pets or guard dogs. Now, two of Moberly's finest grocers bought one of the pups and placed them in their respective grocery stores. And for the time, the pups did the job. They drew attention. They were a subject of conversation. But the pups grew up. Now, one of them grew up and had to be placed in a small zoo. And many of you will remember this. There was a fenced-in area near the deer pond in Rothwell Park, and apparently this one pup was placed in a cage there. The other pup at another store got loose. So the hunt was on for this wolf pup, and he was spotted by a local policeman. Now, this particular police officer had the reputation of being a really good shot. And yes, a shot was taken at the wolf, but the policeman was so excited that he failed to lower the window of his patrol car. So as he took the shot, of course, his window was shattered. Another story relates to a team in the old Midget League. And this shows you how people save things. This particular person saved the equipment from an era that was really unique in Moberly Little League or Church League baseball. And he continues to hold these items, catcher's mitt and different things, mask, as a valued treasure. And another player thought enough of his baseball time to bring photographs. And this particular photograph was of a First Baptist Church team as they posed for a championship picture. A number of other stories that have come to relate things that happened during school years relate to a pool hall or other gathering places in downtown Moberly. And often the drug stores near the intersection of Reed and Fourth are brought up. You all know that there were four drug stores almost on the four corners. One just off the corner, and it's still there, the Cribbs Pharmacy. Other places that are brought up in these stories are the movie theaters. Think about it. We had the Grand, the Fourth Street, the Dickinson, or the Sosna State. And kids enjoyed the summer matinees, often meeting a girl for a movie. Another part of reunions that I really enjoy is hearing the stories about how couples meet, how they met, they maybe married and then had families. I make it a point to ask about the first date in order to hear about the dances at the Municipal Auditorium, the Masonic Temple, the youth dances at churches, and other places. Now, one such story relates a couple who first met at a program at the Municipal Auditorium. The event happened to be a fashion show, and in this particular event, the young ladies were modeling pajamas. Can you imagine? This first meeting of these two led to a shy boy asking a friend to ask this young lady that he had met out for a date. He wouldn't want to ask her himself, so he asked a friend to ask. The date turned into a second date, and it developed a relationship. The Municipal Auditorium was a place where there was a variety of things happening, including music and dances. And do you remember Dick and Dee Dee, Paul and Paula, or Lou Christie, even before he had his minstrels, who came to Moberly as a part of something called the Shower of Stars? There was really some good music and early music before these people became stars. Now, a part of this music was Moberly's own Crazy Cats and Plato and the Philosophers. I'm told that as lead dresser and the Crazy Cats began, that young people who attended their concerts would throw coins on the stage while they were entertaining. Now, my question to you all out there, if you remember this, was that the only pay that this dance band got was money thrown on the stage. But over the years, the Crazy Cats and, of course, Plato have entertained many a music lover around this area and around the state. Athletics is another special topic that comes up at class reunions. Many recall their days on the football field, the basketball court, or on the track. And in the summer, almost every boy in Moberly played baseball as a part of the midget or church leagues. In fact, some of these memories made between the ages of 15 and 18 have become a special moment that provided lifetime memories for these people. Now, I bring up the Moberly Ban Johnson baseball team. This was an older team, made up of athletes from all over the area. Players came from Salisbury, Brunswick, and other places, made names for themselves in this semi-pro summer league. And one such name is that of Darryl Knowles, who was a major leaguer, won many awards and accolades. A story about Darryl and another very good pitcher from Boonville named Bunny Brumble tells of how a game became extremely boring because both pitchers were throwing so well that strikeouts were the item of the day, and ended up in a very low-scoring contest. A final story about athletics is related to basketball recruiting, this as a Moberly person as an adult. It seems that he was recruiting on a trip to a large city on the East Coast, and the coach had been told that when he got there, he needed to find somebody in the neighborhood as a bystander, if you will, and provide them an insurance premium in order to keep their car from being stripped, as he would be inside watching a game. In this particular case, the insurance premium worked, but however, another coach who chose not to pay, saying, "That's not going to happen," returned to find his car without wheels, tires, air cleaner, radio, and even more. Always with class reunions is the story. Story of teachers, sports, girlfriends, boyfriends that are told. One returning classmate recently told me of how she still treasures her 7th grade love letters. What are your memories? If you'd like, give us a call. Try to keep it short and keep it PG rated for the radio audience.
All right, 263-2424 if you want to call in. Class reunions are a topic here, or you can ring in at 800-892-2300. Your calls and past Chamber of Commerce banquets, all coming up with JW on History on the Radio.
Wondering if you're paying too much for your auto insurance? Consolidated Insurance in Macon has 5 auto insurance companies that would provide you a no-obligation quote for your auto insurance free of charge. See Larry Stark and the friendly staff in the office located at 208 North Rollins Street in Macon. Just give them a call for your free quote today. Consolidated Insurance of Macon takes pride in offering some of the most competitive rates around.
The Moberly High School alumni would like to invite all alumni, parents, and friends to attend the Moberly Alumni Bash this Friday, September 27th. The parade kicks off the festivities at 3 o'clock in downtown Moberly. The homecoming game is at 7, and then enjoy a fun evening with old classmates and friends at Lucky's, located on South Morley in Moberly. There will be 2 bands performing throughout the evening. For more information regarding the MHS Alumni Bash this Friday evening, see Moberly High School Alumni on Facebook. Well, there you go, an appropriate end. From the alumni group here on Quicksland this morning, History on the Radio, you can participate if you have a memory to share. 263-2424, 800-892-2300. Do the stories grow?
Oh, they do. Mm. And I think if you go to the 5 and 10 and 15-year reunions, you'll hear them expanded upon, and that's what makes them good.
Yeah, you know, and maybe some of the trouble you got into.
Yes, I've got one story about a lady named Marjorie Hunter, who was the citizenship teacher at Moberly Junior High. And after she had retired, I saw her at church one day, and she came up to me and she said, J.W., I could always tell when trouble was brewing on the second floor of the junior high. And I said, well, how is that? And she said, you'd come in and sit down at your desk and fold your hands. And I knew to get my yardstick and head out in the hall.
All right. So class reunions, you're welcome to call in. The Chamber of Commerce Awards program was last night. You, of course, were involved in many of those.
I was, and enjoyed each and every one of them. Now, they were hard work, and I'm sure the one last night was stressful getting it ready, but they did a good job, and it was well attended. I think around 325, 340 people. So good job, Megan. So what I thought I'd do is talk about Chamber of Commerce banquets and how they relate a little bit like reunions. This is a place where businesses get together. They acknowledge changes going on in business. They acknowledge successes and failures around the area. And in these meetings, they exchange information, and they often have entertainment, and they provide honors that are bestowed on a number of folks. We have the Hall of Fame here in Randolph County, and before that we had what was called the Most Valuable Citizen. So it's something that started back in 1901, and I know they celebrated 80 years last night with the Chamber of Commerce, but before that we had things called the Commercial Club. Anyway, the 2019 banquet was held, and that was quite an event last night. I thought it'd be fun to look back at a few previous banquets and see who came to Moberly to share with Chamber and guests. Very early banquets featured speakers like Alan Funt of the Candid Camera TV show, which was a lot of fun. Jack Anderson, who is a renowned columnist, came, and he was a little controversial. And then another one that I remember was Frank Abagnale Jr. of the book and movie fame Catch Me If You Can. So we've had some really good speakers. In 1984, the banquet was catered by Virgil Thurston and the Colonial Inn, if you all remember that. And the master of ceremonies was Greg Walker, formerly of this radio station. And the speaker was Willard Scott, who was the Today weather reporter. Moving on to 1998, the chamber was celebrating the good times. And they had Bob Cuban Brass, and the meal was by Regional Catering. The chamber officers in 98 were Dennis McEwen, president, Tim Brubaker, vice president, Jerry Jeffrey, treasurer, and Jane Kitchen was the immediate past president. Then we moved to 2000. The banquet was entertained by Tom Andy's Large Ensemble, a band, and Steve Gaw, who was then Speaker of the House, sang the national anthem. Tim Carter headed the banquet committee. Barry Orsland was added to the Chamber Hall of Fame. The next year, 2001, Reverend Wallace Landrum gave the invocation, and the chamber celebrated what was called T-1, 100 years and counting. Again, we went from 1901 to 2001 for chamber-like groups. The entertainment was a group called Disco Duck, and it was a six-piece band from Kansas City. Tim Carter was the chamber president, and Bobby Riley Jr. was the vice president. Moving into the 2000s, 2006, the chamber honored local entertainers, the Crazy Cats, and the theme was called Celebrate Our Town. Regional Catering again provided the banquet, and the Brick handled the social reception. Lead dresser Willie Craig and Fred Fletcher were there, and of course they brought the house down with this wonderful music program. And there were many more. I'm really fortunate that I saved a lot of the programs from those days and look back at them with a lot of fondness, and again, they were stressful getting ready to do them, but a lot of fun when we had them. So that's that.
Greg Walker was very good.
Yep, Greg would work really hard getting his comments together for the chamber banquet, and I know that everybody sat there to enjoy it, but a few people sat there cringing a little bit on what he might come up with.
They might be the topic.
They might be the topic.
JW with us for a few more minutes and your phone calls the rest of the hour. We'd love to hear your memories, class reunions, chamber banquets, whatever's on your mind. You can give us a call at 263-2424 or 800-892-2300. We'll be back in a moment.
This week on Tips for Better Relationships, presented by Show Me Healthy Relationships, we're talking about empty nesters.
There are many tips to keeping your marriage strong after the kids fly the coop. The first thing to remember is to give yourself and your spouse time to adjust to an empty house. It's completely natural to not know what to talk about over dinner when the kids are gone. Also, focusing on yourself by getting up and moving is another great tip because it may help you relax more at home in your empty nest. Plan date nights with your spouse and take time to remember why you fell in love before the kids came along.
This has been Tips for Healthy Relationships presented by Show Me Healthy Relationships. If you feel like you need guidance on how to make the best of an empty nest, check out the 7 principles for making relationships work. Find a free course near you at showmehealthyrelationships.com. Show Me Healthy Relationships. Strong couples, stable families, better Missouri.
We're going to have JW go to the newsroom and give a diction drill to all of our news guys.
I'd have to be careful because I might get the theater mixed up with the way it's supposed to be pronounced. But there were, like I said, 100 words on that. And Miss Shin was a good English teacher. I think she was hard on some, but I got along with her pretty well. I have a wonderful story about Mary Shin after she retired. And she lived in an apartment house on William Street, and she liked to go to town, go shopping, and she'd call the taxi, and the taxi would pull up out in front and honk the horn, and she would go down and climb into the back seat. And this one day, she climbed into this taxi, and the taxi driver turned around and said, "Ain't you Miss Shin?" And she said, "Well, yes, I am." And he said, "Well, you taught me English." And she says, "Well, apparently not very well."
I knew where that was going.
Yeah. But she was a good teacher, and there was a lot of good teachers. And I'm sure there were around the county schools as well. And so, if you've got tales to tell about county schools and class reunions, why, we'll spread it out over as big an area as they want
to. I'm curious, what's the oldest class reunion, if anybody wants to tell us? Or these country schools, do they have class reunions?
A lot of them do.
I'm wondering.
And they have joint class reunions. Yeah. And so sometimes there's only 5 or 6 of them able to come back because it's been 65 or plus years. But they still have a good time. And I've had the good fortune of having some people send me records from these meetings and have them in my files. And just a lot of interesting stories about the country schools and the things that the kids had to go through there in terms of both learning in their classes, but also firing the stove, cleaning the stove, and doing all the things. And in fact, I have photographs of pictures of rural schools in Randolph County where the class is standing up and there's usually one boy who's taller and maybe bigger than the rest of them, and he's holding his shotgun. So apparently they allowed kids to take guns to school for protection from the animals and what have you, and that's just the way it was. Times have changed.
Different world.
It is a different world.
And I'm sure from the Historical Society, you will probably occasionally get requests for tours when alumni groups come back.
We do, and we enjoy having them here, and they look around, and one of the places they like to go to is the third floor of the annex to the Historical Society. They like to go up and see what the old sycamore was all about. But we have lots of really neat displays, and people ask a lot of questions, and sometimes if they sit down, we get a lot of good stories that way as well.
All right.
By the way, we do have one announcement. I don't know exactly.
Can we hold that for just a second?
Sure can, absolutely.
Let's see what we've got here. Yep. Hi, you're on the air with JW.
Hi. Just I heard you say something about, a tour. I was one of the classes that went through last at the old junior high right there by the post office.
Uh-huh.
And we got to autograph and put our name and stuff on the wall of the, I want to think it was the weight room or the storage room. It was like upstairs in the gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I thought would be really neat, is if they would let, like our class go through and tour it if it was safe enough, just kind of see what we wrote and stuff like that.
Well, that was in the old gymnasium, and
the
gymnasium is gone. But guess what? We saved the locker that had all of the girls' signatures, and I think this might have been Judy White's class. Yes. Okay. So we've got that. We're trying to figure out how to put it together in a locker format for people to see. And once that's done, it will be available for people to look at. And so
that'd be neat.
Yep. We saved it.
Good.
Oh, good. Well, that's what I was thinking.
There okay. you go. Hey, thanks.
All right, thank
good,
you.
Good
thank
call.
You.
Good call. Good memory. Yeah.
Well, we saved a couple of things out of the old junior high, and believe it or not, four people, including two city staff and two volunteers, took down the old porticos of the junior high. So we've got those stored in case we ever have a building or a historic building that we want to put those on. So thought that was something. You like to save something from every building, and that had not had people in it for a long time and had a lot of damage to it, but there were a few things that we could save. And I would encourage people out there to do that when they see an old building. Well, I try to keep some favorite part of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have other school memorabilia as part
of
this?
Yeah. You know, one of the research items that is most used at the Historical Society would be yearbooks.
Mm-hmm.
People come in and look at those. Now, not only do we have yearbooks for the high school, but we have them for the junior high in some cases. And if you really want to go back, we've got PTA and PTO organization parent teachers, notes and minutes going back from a number of schools, and it's just, that's basic research right there. You can find out who played Santa Claus and who did this and who did that, so it's a lot of information.
Good. You had that note you wanted to pass along.
I was just going to tell you that, you know, I'm kind of a skeptic on ghosts and spirits, but, you know, we don't really know, do we? So we're going to get a report from the ghost hunters who spent the time at the Historical Society there on Clark Street recently. It's going to be the 25th of September, a Wednesday, and we're going to do that at West Park because the... That's tonight. The West Park church is going to be used because our building is literally full getting ready for the rummage sale.
So you're getting a report. Is this
open? We're getting a report.
Is this just to the
historian? The board was invited, but I'm kind of saying that if you're really interested in finding out about ghosts, like, come on out. We'll either let you in or throw you out. So there you go.
All right. Well, we'll be following up on this story to see if we have ghosts.
Well,
they spent what into the early morning hours?
Oh, they did. They spent until about 4:30 in the morning with video and sound and all sorts of stuff.
Paranormal. Is that kind of that's the name now, right?
That's what they get.
Not Ghostbusters, but paranormal. Okay. All right. Glad you brought it up.
Yep.
We'll be looking forward to see if we got some ghosts.
We'll see. See you next month.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
J.W. Ballinger, our local storyteller with history on the radio.